Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. For over 86 years, this radio program has been endeavoring to pierce the darkness with the light of the love of Jesus. I hope you enjoy the Christmas programs that we have scheduled for you during the month of December. Again, thanks so much for joining us for this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Thanks so much for tuning in to this special edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm going to play the concluding part of a message that I preached last month in a revival meeting in the state of Illinois titled Boldness. And I hope that you'll be challenged by it. No better time of the year than now to share the love of Jesus Christ with people whose hearts and minds are tuned and turned to the coming of Jesus Christ. I know it's commercialized a lot, and I know that so much seems to preempt the main message of the season. But we have opportunity during Christmas to talk about Jesus. So I hope that you will be bold in your proclamation of the love of Jesus. Don't forget to pray for us. Don't forget to write to us. If the Lord lays it upon your heart, would you help us with the expense of this radio program on this radio station? Include us in your Christmas giving. It would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. May God bless you as you listen to the remaining part of the sermon and the music that we have planned for you today.
Calm, all is bright. the sight.
Application number one. Being bold is deciding to say something when it would be easier to say nothing. It's always easier to say nothing about our faith in Christ. Because we live in a society, as you well know, where the Christian voice has been censored by the culture of which we're a part. Everyone else can speak their piece about their particular religion, but you let us Christians speak up for the Word of God and what we believe, then we're called homophobic. We're called bigoted. We're called any number of things because we believe in the Word of God and living by it. But being bold is deciding to say something when it would be easier to say nothing. My wife and I were en route to Wellsburg, West Virginia one July summer. We were going to Wellsburg, West Virginia, to the Church of the Nazarene for one day of services. We were on our way across Interstate 70, and we were running a bit ahead of time, and I said, "Hey, Gretchen, why don't we just stop at this mall? There's the Ohio Valley Mall right over here. Let's stop there, get a bite to eat, and just stretch our legs, walk around in that mall for a while before we head on over to Wellsburg." It was still about an hour away. And so we did just that. We stopped, got a bite to eat, and then we walked into the mall. And as we walked into the mall, there was a large department store there. I don't remember which one it was. But I just happened to notice as I walked past it that it was the end of the style season for that summer. And they had a lot of racks of summer clothes that were displayed on sale. And so I told Gretchen, I said, "Hey, I'm going in here, might find some sale items, and I could use them for Christmas gifts this coming Christmas." She said, "I am going to find a purse." My wife is a prolific purse shopper. She likes purses. I said, "All right." Now, she's not a spendthrift. She's very conservative with her money, very tight-fisted with her money. But when she buys a purse, she goes about it seriously. I've been with her. I've watched her shop for a purse. I find the man chair, and I just watch her. And she'll take a purse off a counter and she'll look at it and she'll investigate the inside, see if it's got enough pockets in it. And, And then she will put it on her shoulder and she'll stand in front of the mirror, see how it hangs and how it looks on her body. I've watched her do that, so she knows how to do this. About 30 minutes after she disappeared down the mall, she came back, had a bag in her hand. I said, "Did you find a purse?" She said, "I did." She said, "But you're going to have to go back to the store with me." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, when I went to pay for it, the young lady who waited on me, she asked me what my zip code was. And when I gave it to her, she immediately said, 'You're not from around here, are you?'" And Gretchen said, "I told her," I said, "No, my husband and I, we're on our way to Wellsburg, West Virginia. We're going to be ministering over there tomorrow, singing and preaching. And we just stopped here to rest and get a bite to eat." And she said, she began to talk to me. She said, "Well, my dad's a minister. Maybe I could come and hear you." And she said, "I don't know how to tell her to get there." "So you're going to have to go back to the store and tell her how to get there." So I walked into this little purse shop, met a beautiful young lady by the name of Sarah. We were standing there, and in God's providence, there were no other customers in the store. And we stood there and we talked. And I was trying to tell her how to get to Wellsburg, West Virginia, where the Church of the Nazarene was located. And as I was doing that, handsome young man walked into the store from a kiosk out there in the mall. Come to find out, his name was Derek, Sarah's boyfriend. So we talked. And they concluded, "We may come to see you tomorrow." "Oh, that'd be wonderful. We'd love to have you." And Gretchen and I walked out of that store, back out to our car. And as we walked to the car, I said, "Wouldn't that be neat if they showed up tomorrow? That would really be something." But then I said, "Well, you know how young people are. They say things like that. They mean well, have good intentions. But we don't know where they live. They may live an hour the opposite direction. It might be a two-hour drive for them. Who knows? They may look at all of that and decide, 'No, we're not going to go.'" And we just kind of dismissed it. Got to church that Sunday morning, and I began to preach. I'd gotten maybe 5 minutes into my sermon, and I looked up, and in that back door back over there, I saw Derek and Sarah come in and sit down on the very back row. I watched her. Sarah slid up on the edge of that chair. She didn't take her eyes off of me the entire time. And when I gave the invitation, the first person to the altar was that young lady. After she got to the altar, that young man came and stood behind his girlfriend. Gretchen was sitting over here. I walked over and said, "Gretchen, Derek and Sarah are at the altar." She got up and walked over and knelt by Sarah. I didn't ask Sarah why she came to the altar, but she was weeping. She prayed, and I prayed for her. And then I looked at that young lady. I said, "Sarah, did God meet your need today?" She said, "Oh, yes, He did. He met my need today." That would have never happened had my wife, when asked, "You're not from around here, are you?" If Gretchen had just simply said, "We're just passing through," it would have never happened. Being bold is deciding to say something when it would be easier to say nothing. Secondly, being bold is taking advantage of opportunities to be bold. And friend, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, that there are opportunities out there to be bold. We've just got to see them. We've got to be sensitive to them. Love a story that I heard about a pastor who felt led of the Lord one day to go to the Bible bookstore in his community and buy a Bible for the young lady who cut his hair. He went to the Bible bookstore, bought that Bible, and walked into that salon where he had his hair cut, and walked up behind the young lady who cut his hair. Her name was Missy. And he walked up behind her and said, "Excuse me, Missy, I just felt impressed to buy you this Bible. I'd like for you to have it." Handed it to her and then excused himself and walked out of the salon. He found out later what happened after he left. After he left, the lady in the chair that she was cutting her hair said to Missy, "Who was that?" "Well, that's a pastor. He comes in here. I cut his hair." "Is that a Bible he just gave you?" "Yes, it is." and she said, do you know anything about the Bible? Missy said, no, I don't know anything about the Bible. And the lady in the chair said, hand me that Bible. I'm a Christian. I'll show you places in the Bible that you should read. And she began to mark places in the Bible where she would read, since she didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. And then she just laid the Bible on the counter in front of the chair. The next lady who came in, whose hair Missy was going to cut or whatever she did for her, saw the Bible lying there. She happened to be an elderly saint of God. And she's sitting in the chair, sees the Bible on the counter, and says, Missy, is that your Bible? Yes, it is. Where'd it come from? Well, a minister whose hair I cut brought it to me today. And the lady who was just before you found out I didn't know anything about the Bible, so she marked some places in the Bible that I should read. And that dear saint of God said, hand me that Bible. I'll read it to you while you cut my hair. And she began to read the Bible to that young lady. And in the process, Missy got under conviction and began to hunger to know Jesus Christ. And when she finished cutting her hair, they walked into a closet in that salon, and that elderly saint of God led Missy to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Being bold. Being bold is taking advantage of opportunities to be bold. But last of all, being bold is creating opportunities to be bold. Now that's the hard one, isn't it? Because we're not all wired alike. Some of you could talk to that pole right there and carry on a conversation. That's just the way you are. You're easy to engage in conversation. Others, very introverted, hard to be transparent, hard to talk, or just very quiet by nature. 1965. I just graduated from high school. I was getting ready to go off to Bible college. My dad was going to preach at Bonnie Holiness Camp in Southern Illinois. And I was going to travel with my mom and my dad to that camp meeting. And he called ahead and asked the leadership of that camp, do you need a youth counselor? They did. So I was hired as a youth counselor for that camp meeting, for the youth program. We arrived there, and I was working with the young people. And one night, Dr. John Sutherland Logan was the preacher that particular night. He was my dad's co-worker. And I was sitting over on this side on the tabernacle with the young people. And we stood at the end of Dr. Logan's sermon, and we were singing the invitation song. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw my mother leave where she was standing. And she made her way to the altar and began to pray. I immediately thought to myself, what's she doing going to the altar? That's my mom. If there's a saint of God in this tabernacle, it's my mom. My dad told the story after the fact. They went back to their cottage after the service that night. And Dad said it was about midnight. He said, I was just lying there thinking that my wife, Elizabeth, my mom, was asleep. He said, I was thinking about the services, praying. He said, then she spoke to me and said, Harold, I guess you wonder why I went to the altar tonight. And my dad said, well, I do. She said, Harold, do you realize that our home in Briarwood Terrace, a housing development about 5 miles outside of Salisbury, North Carolina, where they lived, do you realize our house in Briarwood Terrace was one of the first homes built in that community? And since our home was built, there have been 38 more homes built in Briarwood Terrace. And she said, the Lord revealed to me tonight and convicted me, showed me, reminded me, I had not knocked on one of those doors and asked any of my neighbors if they went to church, if they knew Jesus, if I could help them in any way. She said, I went to the altar to ask God to forgive me for my indifference and to ask God to give me the strength and the grace to rectify that. My mother had a 9th grade education. She never drove a car. She was the quiet member of our house, the behind the scenes spiritual power in our family. I went off to Bible college. Several months passed. As I said, Dad told the story. One night he came in from a revival meeting where he was in commuting distance of home. Mother normally didn't wait up on my dad, but this particular night she was waiting up, sitting in her chair there in the den. And when Dad came around the corner out of the kitchen, saw my mother sitting there and said, "Elizabeth, what are you doing up at this hour?" She said, "I stayed up for a reason tonight." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Harold, I accomplished my purpose today." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I knocked on the last door of the last home in Briarwood Terrace. And there's not a family in this community that doesn't know I care about their souls." She started with a little girl that lived next door, just across the street that ran between our house and that house. Her name was Shannon. Shannon might have been 7 years old. I can remember coming in from college, and there would Shannon be standing by my mom on a little stool helping my mom do dishes. Shannon didn't call my mother Elizabeth or Miss Elizabeth or Ms. Loman. She just branded her Loman. She'd come and knock on the door and say, "Loman, can I come in? Loman?" She began to touch that little girl's heart. And it wasn't long until she was touching that little girl's mom and dad's hearts. I come in from college sometime for the weekend just to see mom and dad. Normally mom would be doing her wifely duties, getting supper ready maybe or something like that. And I came in this one particular weekend and mother was nowhere to be seen, but dad was in his recliner. And I said, "Hey dad, where's mom?" "Oh, she's out there working the streets." They didn't really say that, but what he meant was she's out there walking the streets. And I'd walk out on the front porch. There was mom. Gaggle of kids around her. If you listen closer, you'd hear mom singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," or telling them a Bible story. I can remember being at the house and a bunch of kids would come up on the porch and they'd knock on the door and they would say, "Loman, Loman, you got any Kool-Aid? You got any cookies today?" And mother did. She'd let them in and set them around the dinner table and give them Kool-Aid and cookies. Loving on them, caring about them. I remember one day I was there with mom. Phone rang. She answered the phone. "Loman, okay, all right, I'll be right there." She'd turn, hang up the phone and look at me and say, "Young mother across the street needs me. I'll be back in a minute." She'd go across the street. Love on that young mother who was in turmoil, dealing with life. And mother would love on her. When mom died, we had her funeral, her memorial service on Wednesday night. That was appropriate because mom always wanted to be in church on Wednesday night. The Wesleyan Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. And mom was here. We had the viewing early evening. We're going to have the service that evening as well. I'm standing back there in the back with my siblings and our families. People would come down the outside aisle, come by and pay their respects to my mom and come out up the outside aisle and come by and greet us and then maybe turn and find a place to sit in the sanctuary, or if they weren't going to stay, they'd just leave. I'm standing back there and I saw Shannon, the first one, the seven-year-old. She's now about 17. I saw her come in that door on the arm of her mother. They stopped about halfway down that outside aisle. I don't think I've ever seen a teenager weep as openly as she was weeping. She just stopped and she gazed down at my mom's form in that casket. And she just shook her head as if to say, "No, Loman, no, Loman. It can't be you, Loman." She couldn't bring herself to come down to the casket. She turned and, weeping, walked out into the night on the arm of her mother. Young couples would come by. I don't remember how many. They'd say, "Lena, I want to thank you for your mom. I know Jesus because of your mom. I'm in the church because of your mom." She loved them into the kingdom. No stipulation, she just loved them into the kingdom. I'm not trying to impose my mom on you. But I'll tell you this, My mom was bold in her own way. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness.
Thanks so much for listening to this special Christmas edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take just a few minutes to pray about making The Lights of Spiritual Guidance a part of your Christmas giving. We are a listener-supported, faith-based radio program, and we depend upon our listening audience to keep us on this radio station. So you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I hope you'll find some place to worship this weekend. I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel and Carrier Meals; in the state of Kentucky, Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point; Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs; and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. May God richly bless you. And don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.